High FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Professor Barry Shoup. He's a former executive director at the National Institute for Communicable Diseases and professor emeritus of virology at Wits University. And today's topic that he'll be telling us some interesting information is on rumors, stigmas, and conspiracy theories regarding COVID-19. Good afternoon, Professor.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Paul. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. I'm shouting into the void, but now I get to play a little bit of verbal tennis and have a back and forth, so I'm really grateful. It's nice to speak with you.
Right, thanks. You know, this COVID pandemic is, from a scientific level, has been an absolutely fascinating experience, a new virus, a new disease. So biologically, scientifically, it's really been extremely stimulating, extremely interesting, extremely fascinating. But also on a people behavioral level, it's been equally fascinating. You know, on the one hand, the challenges of the pandemic have really brought out the best in people. And there have been many heroes. We've had many on High FM as well. I just really want to pay tribute to the healthcare workers at the coalface who really dedicate themselves working tirelessly, long hours, dangerous work, stressful work. Hatsola has been absolutely amazing. I also want to pay tribute to my medical colleagues, Professor Ephraim Carman, Dr. Richard Friedland, who've also assisted in providing medical support. And there are many others. I hope they won't mind that I can't mention everybody. There have been many, many heroes. And also, on the other hand, there have also been the underminers, the people who flout the rules, who go out without masks in the public, who have social gatherings, parties, etc., etc., or who criticize the measures that have been put to place. Obviously, criticism is very, very welcome, but unfounded criticisms or unknowledgeable criticism is really just simply undermining. There have also been other offshoots, and this is, of course, not unique to Corona. We've had it with many new diseases. We had it with HIV, for example. I had the great distinction of serving on President Mbeki's AIDS Advisory Council, which was quite a traumatic period.
I can imagine.
But with COVID, it's actually spawned a new word called infodemic. Infodemic. It's not in the dictionary yet, but it may well become part of our lexicon later on. And that is the pandemic of information, or should I say misinformation. And there's an awful lot of that going around. And I'm sure some of it you know already. We know when we started the pandemic, there was the conspiracy theory that that COVID was a bioweapon manufactured by the CIA, or that it was some kind of nefarious plot. From various governments were accused, and of course there was a stigma right in the very beginning, directed against the Chinese population. They said it was it was a laboratory-generated virus coming out of Wuhan, or alternatively that maybe more kind of offensively saying that it came from Chinese dietary habits which caused COVID-19. So there's been a sort of an ugly side to it. Of course, as Jews, we're also not immune to that as well. We know about being accused of causing the plague in the 14th century. In fact, in South Africa, accused of causing plague in the 1920th century. There's actually an interesting poster now about COVID circulating in America saying that COVID is not Chinese, it's the Jew flu. Yeah, the Jew flu.
Hmm.
Also, a lot of rumors have generated about treatment and prevention and control. Eating garlic can cure coronavirus, I've seen. Or President Trump's famous one about drinking bleach. Drinking alcohol may be a little bit more palatable than bleach, or gargling vinegar. There's actually an interesting article which just come out from the American Journal of Tropical Medicine Hygiene. They list, there's a whole A4 full page of small print listing all these conspiracy theories and rumors and stigmas and so on. It makes quite interesting reading. Spraying chlorine all over your body can prevent a coronavirus infection. frequent washing of clothes. That's quite an interesting one, because we actually spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. There was a case study of a woman in America who'd been rinsing her vegetables bought from the supermarket and the packaging as well with chlorine, with bleach. And that, of course, generates chlorine. She was rushed to hospital, to ICU, with chlorine poisoning. So all these things do have kind of, that they're sometimes not just, they're not only innocuous, they can be problematic as well. So, yeah, coronavirus, new virus, and it has also, like other new viruses, like HIV before it and like Ebola before that, has generated all these kind of conspiracy theories. And, you know, unfortunately it gets a lot of mileage, you know, the internet, the social media, they are vehicles which can propagate these things very, very widely. Not always so easy to kind of disabuse these theories.
Well, I know that in my extended family, Professor, I've had certain relatives tell certain other relatives, slightly older ones, and I don't want to be too ageist here, but they've basically told them in no uncertain terms, stay off WhatsApp because they're tired of all of these conspiracy theories circulating. And it's interesting that the same old ones keep getting recycled. We were told that AIDS was bioengineered, some people even saying it was nanomachines or something crazy, and that's recirculated. On a lighter note, I can tell you that the garlic does work. If you eat a lot of it like I do, no one wants to hang around you, and then you can enforce social distancing quite easily.
Very good. Garlic is very good for all infectious diseases. It's a great physical distancer. Yes. Couldn't be better.
And also vampires. So vampires and COVID. But on a serious note, these are a huge concern. The infodemic, as you, I have seen that word, Professor. It's like all other fake news, even the more sinister campaigns, it overwhelms and overloads public discourse, and then people don't even know what's true or false anymore, and they get fatigued. They don't even have the energy to find out, so you can present the truth to them, and they're just too fatigued to take any notice, and that's a real scare.
You know, one of the worrying ones which really has persisted for a long time, and we just cannot get rid of it, and that's the MMR vaccine and autism. That has been so disproved over and over again. It's wasted a tremendous amount of scientific research time, and it still persists. We just cannot convince the public that there's no truth to either measles vaccine or measles, mumps, rubella vaccine and relationship to autism. And many of the other vaccine fake news. But this is the one that really has kind of persisted, and it's a very durable one, unfortunately.
It's a huge disappointment, Professor. We've had this great news this week that the continent, the African continent, we've defeated wild polio, which is correct. Fantastic. But we've seen...
Major milestone, I should say. Absolutely major milestone. Yeah. We were involved in the early stages.
Oh, kol hakavod. And it's wonderful. I've seen some older people who've in-migrated from across the continent in their 30s and 40s, and I've seen... There are people living in South Africa that are living with polio, and it's heartbreaking to watch. So we've defeated polio as a continent, but now for the last, I don't know, 5 years plus, we've seen measles stage a resurgence across the world, which is terrible. Professor,
like United States as well. Sorry,
Yes. I wonder if I could ask you, I don't know if this is, it's not off topic. We talked about rumors and conspiracy theories, but I'm interested in the topic of stigma, because unlike other diseases, sexually transmitted infections, where there was a stigma, where you could be branded as, you know, because of how we are as human beings, how we link morality to sexual behavior. But I've noticed that a lot of people who've contracted the virus now, COVID, let's be specific, have also been a little bit embarrassed and shy to reveal their status. Maybe they feel that they've been branded as irresponsible, but we know this disease is highly infectious, much more than flu. It's not like anyone has been embarrassed in the past to say, well, yeah, I got flu this season. So what's the stigma? What is there any stigma around COVID-19?
Yeah, there's very, very definitely a stigma, and the stigma really arises that you are, that the person who's got COVID is infectious, is a sort of, is a source of infectious, is a source of a disease. And therefore, they must be isolated, of course, which is part of the public health response, but also kind of psychologically, mentally isolated. You know, keep away from them, keep your kids away from them, keep your family away from them. They are a source of infection. And this is, of course, where the kind of original racial stigma came from to the Chinese population in the early days, because it originated in China. People didn't want to go to the, you know, shop at Chinese shops and so on. So I think that that stigma is because it's a source of infection.
Yeah. So I wish I had the answer, to the fake news pandemic in general, Professor, and specifically how it intersects with the global pandemic. At the moment, we keep looking for more sophisticated data-driven ways to make the truth more sticky and make the lies a little less palatable, but we don't have the answer to that yet.
I think the important thing from a public point of view is to kind of look very carefully at your sources of information. Do they come from a reliable, knowledge-based source? Are the individuals who are giving the news, do they have the credentials? Because everybody can become an amateur, you know, reading the news and putting a twist onto it, either with an agenda or just simply wanting to make up something or just simply out of mischief.
Yeah. All sorts of negative and less palatable reasons for doing what we're doing, or just to trend on social media. It's highly unfortunate. Professor, thank you so much for your time. We'll chat with you tomorrow. As always, highly informative. So nice to speak to another human being on the other end of the phone. You have a great evening, and we'll catch up again tomorrow.
Thanks, Paul. All the best. See you tomorrow.